Like I said, I am really excited to be here this morning. This is a subject that is near and dear to my heart. It's been on my heart for a long time now to share it for one of our Revolutionary Women times, and it just happens that we just felt like this is a good month, a good way to kick off this year for the wives in particular. So I'm just excited. This is, again, like I said, a topic that's near and dear to my heart, something I'm really passionate about, loving my husband, something that I'm always looking to grow in, because I want to be honest that I'm not here this morning to share these things with you because I'm an expert at them. I'm here to share them because I'm passionate about them, because I need to grow in them just as much as the next person. I need to keep challenging myself in ways to show love to my husband, in ways to fill up his love tank, in ways to show him you're important to me, you matter. I know I have 5 kids. I know I have all of these responsibilities at home, but I will make time for you. So this is really important to me, and I'm excited to be here to share that with you. So I'm going to open up in prayer, and then I'm going to get on to my topic here. Lord, I just thank you so much for the sun this morning. Despite the Arctic cold, the sun does something for our mood. It does help us feel a little bit more alive, and I just thank you for the sun this morning, the bright light. I just thank you for bringing all of these women here. I pray for anybody who's still on the road trying to make it, that they would get here safely. Lord, I just pray for this time this morning. I'm really excited to share the things that you've put on my heart about loving our husbands, loving my husband, what you've taught me about that, what that looks like, ways that we can grow and challenge ourselves. God, like I said, I'm not an expert on this. I'm just a humble woman, a servant who wants to grow and love my husband, and I want to keep challenging myself in that. And I just pray that you would speak through me this morning, that I would just be your vessel to convey some of these truths that I believe you've set out for us, that women here this morning, God, that their hearts would be soft and open to hear from you, to be challenged, to be convicted, in whatever way you see fit, God, that we would be able to walk away with something new this morning to go home and go, I want to work on that. I want to change that. I just pray that you would bless this time, that we would hear from you, that you would meet us in our need this morning, and that you would just be faithful to speak to us this morning. I just lift these things up in your name, Lord. Amen. Many of you probably saw what I posted on Facebook a couple weeks ago about does your husband feel like he is the first thing on your priority list? I printed it off because I want to read it again and then clear up a couple of things. And I have handouts, but I'll wait to hand those out because I don't want anybody getting ahead. So I'm just going to read what I had posted on Facebook in case you're not on Facebook or you didn't see what I wrote. It said, and this is really just from my heart, okay? So does your husband feel like he is the first thing on your priority list? Or does he feel like he is the last thing on your mind at the end of the day? I go around nonstop every day, mothering little ones, going from preparing one meal to preparing the next, feeding all my hungry little mouths. Seriously, I feel like I'm in the kitchen all the time. Homeschooling, teaching, training, correcting, cleaning, laundry, cooking some more. Many days, I just want to fall into bed at the end of the day, knowing that tomorrow I will wake up and do it all over again, and my energy is zapped, and my goodness, I just need sleep. How do I possibly have time for my husband? Ladies, does this sound familiar to any of you? I can't wait to share with you what God has put on my heart about keeping my husband at the top of my priority list, and how God is helping me to do this in big and small ways over the past 11 years of my marriage. I will share some of the lessons I've learned and the ones I'm still learning and how they have benefited me. And I will share some of the things that I am passionate about when it comes to keeping my husband first. I truly believe that God wants us to have an amazing relationship with the main man in our life. No matter how much effort it takes, it pays dividends for years to come. So that's really my heart here this morning, is just to share with you some of the things that God has been teaching me in this area, with some practical things, some practical steps, some of the things that I do that work for me might spur on ideas for you. Our marriages are not cookie cutters of each other. Our marriages are all different. Our husbands are different. They have different needs. So some of the things I'm going to share this morning, they may not apply to you or to your husband, so you're going to need to get creative. you're going to need to go, okay, those don't really work for us because my husband doesn't have those same interests or those same needs. But what does work for us? What does my husband need? What can I do better at? So keep an open mind when you're hearing that you might have to get creative for yourself, and my ideas might not work for you, but at least you can be open to knowing that. So I'm going to pass out these. Start one of them. With his idea of priorities, the first thing I want to do, I've titled the first page. I do have a title. It's called Your Husband is Important, Does He Know It? And I want to talk about first things first. I realize what I wrote on Facebook. I kind of want to talk about this idea of priorities. Lest any of you get me wrong, I am not conveying that your husband should have priority over God in your life. And I want to jump into just talking about that a little bit here before we get started on our husbands and make sure that our hearts and our minds are in the right place. I also want to let you know that a lot of thoughts that I'm going to be sharing with you this morning actually come from this book, Creative Counterpart. Many of you maybe have read this or heard of this book. It's an old book written back in 1977 by Linda Dillo. This book is near and dear to my heart. My mom gave it to me when I was newly married. She got this book probably shortly after we moved here to Minnesota, so probably late 80s. She couldn't remember the exact year that she got it. And it's been a real important book in her life. She's just gotten a lot of encouragement from this. So she passed it on to me when I was newly married. And this last week, as I was pondering over my notes and my thoughts and what I wanted to share and convey, I started realizing that a lot of the things that have been important to me in my marriage came from this book. And I thought, wow, that makes a lot of sense. So I pulled it back out because it's actually been a little while since I've read it. And I was refreshing myself on some things and was like, oh my gosh, yes, these are all things that have been important to me for years. And this is where I got it from. And I just, Linda just has some amazing wisdom. And I'm just excited that I put that all together. I don't know why it took me so long to put that all together, but it's been a while since I have read this, even though I'd read it several times. So this is the book. I'll refer to it a couple times, but a lot of what I'm getting is coming from this book. So if you haven't read it, I would recommend you get it. It's going to be one that you're going to go back to several times, and it's really going to challenge and encourage you. So first things first, the real priorities. Number one has to be God. If you're looking at your list of priorities, God does need to be number one. This verse, Matthew 22, 37 through 38, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And then here's a thought from the book. One of the biggest and most common mistakes a woman makes is to substitute activity for God for relationship with him. On the outside, she is busy running the holy hurdles, but on the inside, her relationship with Christ is at a standstill. Can anybody relate to this? I can. I'm busy. I'm serving at church. I'm in the music ministry. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. God and I are good. But that doesn't necessarily mean your inside, on the inside, your relationship with God is where it should be. So this does need to be our first priority. If you feel like you're here this morning and you're going, you know, I really am struggling with my relationship with the Lord. I really am struggling with feeling connected to him. That should be your first priority here this morning. If you walk away before you start jumping into what you might need to change with your spouse, your husband, make sure that that is right in your life. Make sure that you're getting adequate time with the Lord. Make sure you're feeling encouraged in your relationship with him and that you're not replacing relationship with activity, okay? I just wanted to encourage you in that this morning. So then our number two priority after God should be husband. Husband is number two. A worthy wife is her husband's joy and crown. The other kind corrodes his strength and tears down everything he does. Proverbs 12:4. Again, from Creative Counterpart. Solomon said that there are only two kinds of wives, and you are either one or the other. No gray area here. You are either a joy or you are a destroyer. Where do you feel like you're lying on that this morning? Right now. Where do you feel like you are? Are you being a joy to your husband, or are you being a destroyer? According to Solomon, like it says, you're one or the other. So you need to decide where you're at with that. Next thing I want to encourage you in this morning is watch your heart. You know, Laura and I were recently having a conversation, and we were just talking about the different ways that the Lord convicts, how the Lord speaks to our heart. And I want you to ask yourself, what voice are you listening to this morning, okay? Number one, the voice of the Lord is going to convict you. It convicts and challenges you. So if you leave here this morning feeling convicted and challenged, you know the Lord was speaking to your heart. But I want to caution you that the voice of the devil disheartens and discourages you. So if you leave here feeling really discouraged or really disheartened, know that you're giving the devil a foothold, that he's the one that's saying, you are so bad at this. You really are doing a poor job at this. That's not the Lord's voice. He's not seeking to tell you you are so bad. He is seeking to encourage you this morning and go, this is great. Go home with gusto. Love your husband. Make some changes. I'll help you. He wants you to do that. So discern this morning what voice you're hearing. Be really cautious of that. I just wanted to encourage you in that. And then lastly here, first things first, change your expectations. Change your expectations. I want to read this passage to you from Philippians. Do nothing from factional motives through contentiousness, strife, selfishness, or for unworthy ends, or prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility, lowliness of mind, let each regard the other as better than and superior to himself, thinking more highly of one another than you do of yourselves. I just love how the Amplified just makes that pop. This is not about changing your husband. This is about changing you, okay? I think it's real easy to go, well, it would be a lot easier for me to show love to my husband if he was just a little more loving to me. You know, he could really do a lot better in all of these areas, and it would be so much easier for me. But I want us to not think about that this morning. This is about us. This is about our hearts. This is about what we can grow in, what we can change. This is not about our husbands. Let God deal with him. Let God deal with him. That's God's job. Your job is to love that man for who he is, for how God created him to be, faults and all. Faults and all. Let God work on him. And I can probably guarantee you this. You get really good at showing him love no matter where he's at. That actually might really start to change him. He's going to go, wow, maybe I should grow. Maybe I should change some things. But you let God worry about that, okay? Don't you worry about that. You worry about yourself. I want to read something to you this morning about our expectations on our husband. This is from the book. This is from Ruth Graham. She took it from Ruth Graham. It says, I pity the married couple who expect too much from each other. It is a foolish woman who expects her husband to be to her that which only Jesus Christ can be. Always ready to forgive, totally understanding, unendingly patient, invariably tender and loving, unfailing in every area, anticipating every need, and making more than adequate provision. Such expectations put a man under an impossible strain. Keep that in mind. And then this is Linda right here. We must be realistic and not expect our husbands to be what only God can be to us, or to be something totally alien to their personality and temperament. Our expectations are a key barrier to accepting our husbands at face value. To get rid of your expectations, you must lay aside what you feel you deserve in a husband. Wow, what can you say? I just was so convicted by that and said, you're right, Lord, you're right. I need to set aside what I feel John is doing really well in, or what he's not really doing well in, and realize everything, I need to get it from you first. Set aside my expectations. This is about you and about you working in my husband's life and not about me. So I just want you to keep that in mind here this morning. You can turn your page. The title of this second page here is Show him love, make him king. I want you to ask yourself this question here this morning. Again, I had posted this on Facebook just a couple days ago, but I want to ask you again here to think about this morning. Do you show your husband that of all the people here on earth that you love him most? Is he sure he's first in your heart? Does he get that? Does he feel that way? Do your actions or inactions say otherwise to him? Okay, I want you to just think about that this morning. I have five things that I'd like to talk about this morning. Five different areas. Again, a lot of them are really kind of coming right out of this book. But there are five things that have really benefited me in my marriage for the last 11 years. Some things that God taught me early on. Some things I tried early on to do that, you know, those first few years of marriage, even that first year, were not that hard. You know, I wanted to please my husband, and I wanted to make him happy, and so I wanted to do the best job I could at everything, and so it kind of felt easy. But let me tell you, it only got more challenging as the years went by, as I added one child, and then another, and then another, and then another, and then another. It gets more and more difficult, because as more and more things vie for your time, as you have children and they have needs and you're the one that's providing for pretty much all of those needs, it's easy for your husband to kind of get a little bit lower, get a little bit lower, get a little bit lower in your rank of things that are important that you have to do or that you have to take care of. And I have just found that over the years I've had to work harder and harder and harder at these five areas. But I want to tell you, I'm so glad that I have kept at it, because I've seen God bless my marriage through that, even through some of the years or just seasons where certain things have been more challenging. I've seen God bless my efforts, and that it's worked on my heart, and it's made my heart soft towards my husband, because there has been times when some of these things have been a lot more difficult to do. So these are, again, five things that are important to me, and I wanted to share them with you this morning. And I'm trusting that God's going to use some of these to stir your heart this morning. So number one, these aren't really ranked in order of importance. These are just how I have them listed. So it's not, this is the most important. This is just number one. Be a student of your husband. Be a student of your husband. Again, I think this is something that was really easy for me to do. Maybe when we were dating, when we were engaged, and when we were newly married, and, you know, I wanted to know what he liked, what he didn't like, and so I made a lot of good mental notes, but I found that it's really important for me to stay on top of these things. How well do I know my husband? I'm going to read you another thing out of this book. She has a little, it's actually just titled, Do You Really Know Your Husband? And it's just seven questions to think about, okay? So this is more, not just does he like this color or that color, okay? This is some deeper questions. But I want you to listen to it this morning and go, do I know the answer to that? Is this something that I've actually asked my husband about, or have we talked about this? Number one, what is the happiest thing that has ever happened to your husband? Do you know what that is? Number two, what has been the hardest experience of his life? Number three, what are his secret ambitions and his goals for life? Four, what are his deep fears? Five, what about you does he appreciate the most? Six, what traits of yours would he like to see changed? Seven, what man or men does he most admire? Well, some of those questions take communication, you know. It takes asking questions about your husband. If you really want to know things about him, we need to communicate with him. So those are some deep questions to ask yourself. Do I know some of the answers to those? Have we talked about deep things like that lately? Have I just asked him those? Or do I know the answer and have I just not thought about it in a while? Because a lot of us, maybe we do know the answers to those, but we just don't think about it very often. And I think it's good for us to try to remember things like that about our husband on a regular basis. So ask yourself, how well do I really know him? Then I want to just, I thought about this after I put these handouts together, so you're going to have to write this in if you would like to. But another really good tool that many of you probably know is the five love languages. Okay? How does your husband receive love? Do you know how he best receives love? Because again, this is going to look different for all of our husbands. You know, our husbands are not cookie cutters of each other. They're going to receive love in different ways. Do you know how yours receives love? So, how many of you are familiar with the love languages? Most of you? Okay. Do you know what all five are? You can, anybody, shout it out. One. What's one of them?
Quality time.
One.
Physical touch.
Accessories of physical touch. Words of encouragement or affirmation, gifts. Okay, that's all five. Okay, so I'll say it again. Acts of service, quality time, physical touch, words of affirmation, encouragement, receiving gifts. Okay? I know my husband's love languages, but I asked him to humor me this week and take the love languages quiz again. If you go to the website, lovelanguages.com, they have a little quiz or something on there. It's not. I didn't really like it. It's not the greatest because it doesn't give you a lot of questions. It gives you two. For each, like, it's like, I don't know, 20 maybe different things, but it only gives you like two options. And sometimes the question is like the lesser of two evils. Like, how does this best interpret my love language? So he willingly took it, but he told me he did not like it. He was like, this gave me nothing to choose from. He's like, but here you go. Hope this helps you out. Well, you still were right where I thought you were, but yeah, thank you for taking it for me and helping me with, you know, what I'm trying to do here and make sure I still know your love languages. And so I do. For my husband, his are physical touch, acts of service, and quality time. Those are his top three. They're actually all very similar in score, so there's not a lot of variation. So I know then that those must be all very important to him because they're like 8887, something like that on his score. So I've known that. I do know that. So those are things that I, over the years, try to keep remembering. These are the ways that he receives love best. Okay, we need to keep that in mind, how he receives love. I think it's easy sometimes for us to give love to our spouse the way that we receive it. But that doesn't mean they're the same. You know, actually, my husband's and I are very much the same, though my words of affirmation is actually one of my top three, and his isn't. His is actually pretty low on the list. Like, he just doesn't need encouragement, I guess. I do, so that's okay. So that is one of the things that I do, is I try to verbally encourage him, and he appreciates it, but then I have to remember, actually really need it, I guess. But, you know, it's good to be verbally encouraged, so I'll just keep encouraging him verbally, and yeah, go with it. So anyway, just if you feel like you need to revisit that for yourself, for your husband, ask him to take it. If you feel like, hey, maybe I should revisit this. Maybe I do need to make sure I'm showing him love. It'd be a fun little exercise. If you have the book that's a little more exhaustive, they may have a better test in there to take. That gives you more options. That would help. Anyway, so that's just a really good example. And it's really funny because God, like I said, just put this love languages on my heart just yesterday. Okay. The Lord just kept confirming things for me this week as I was going over my notes and writing things out. Things were just popping up all over, whether it was Facebook or an email or a quiet time thought. And I was like, okay, Lord, you know what I'm talking about because you just keep giving me little bits here. And it was really encouraging. And one of those things happened to be somebody, I follow Kirk Cameron on Facebook. He's got a pretty good blog, actually, and he posts some really good articles. And so he had linked something up yesterday that was called Speaking in New Language. And it was about showing love to your spouse the way they receive love. And I was like, wow, that's bizarre, since I was just writing all this stuff out this morning about that. I was like, I better read this. I can't vouch for the guy's blog or what all of his personal beliefs are, so don't go there thinking, oh, this is great. He said this is a good guy. I don't know anything about him. I just know what I read about this, and it really spoke to me. So the website was startmarriageright.com, and he titled this one Speaking a New Language. So I just cut and pasted a little part that really spoke to me. Love is about giving. When your heart is to love and you still do not seem to be connecting with your spouse, ask yourself first, am I speaking in the language that he needs to hear right now? And here was a few things. If this goes back between her and he. If her love language is physical touch, offer a back massage. If he receives love through words of affirmation, try writing a note. If she loves acts of service, empty the overflowing hamper to clean and fold some laundry. If he loves quality time, initiate an afternoon walk with him. If her love language is gifts, invest in wrapping paper and bows. In the end, the most magical idea may just be laying down your agenda with this question, what do you need tonight? I just was really convicted by that. It really spoke to me, and I wanted to share that because I thought it just really fit with being a student of your husband, knowing him, knowing how he needs love, and are you filling his love tank? So think about that. Number two, I like this one. Take an interest in your husband's interests. This has been an area that has really benefited me for years. It was something that when we first started dating, you know, you want to do what they like, and, you know, if he really likes sports, okay, well, I don't know a lot about sports, but sure, I'll watch a game with you, sure, I'll do this, sure, I'll do that, and then maybe after you get married, you go, well, now we're married, I don't have to do that anymore, I'm not going to sit down on that couch and watch a football game because I hate football. Maybe you've been there, maybe you haven't. I, on the other hand, grew up in a sports-loving family, or at least dad and brother who really enjoyed watching sports and football in particular. So I came into marriage with a lot of football knowledge, which I'll tell you, really impressed my husband. In fact, I'm pretty sure that's one of the reasons he married me, because of my football knowledge. Kidding. Maybe not. I think it impressed him. So when we first started dating, you know, I wanted to be interested in what he was interested in, okay? So my husband is a sports guy, like I said. But not just one sport. He likes all sports. Really. Maybe except golf. But now he watches golf, so I don't know. Maybe he's becoming a golf guy. So one of his loves is baseball. He grew up playing baseball. He just loves baseball. And he really loves the Twins, and he loves going to Twins games. Okay, so we grew up in a family that did not like baseball, and Dad played it, but we just didn't really do baseball. We didn't watch baseball games. We didn't go to games. They were boring. Who can sit for 3 hours at a baseball game? So boring. Can anybody relate? Okay. So this is what I used to think, though, okay? Used to. Past. I said, okay, well, he really likes baseball, so I'll just try this out, and he took me to some games, and then we started watching on TV, and before I knew it, I was sucked in. It was fun. It was actually really, really fun, because if you go there on a date, it's like 3 hours of alone time, because baseball is slow. There's a lot of time to talk. Who knew? Seriously, who knew? Just sit together, hold hands for 3 hours. It's not a bad date night. Really, it's not. Especially if you go on dollar hot dog night. It's a cheap date. If you get the cheap seats, which we used to. Get like the $7 seats and sit way up high in the nosebleeds, go on Monday night, get dollar hot dogs. It was like, back when I ate hot dogs. Not so good on my tummy anymore. Anyway. I found that I really enjoyed it, and we were spending time together, you know, and there's a lot of people watching you can do at a baseball game. It's actually really, it's a really fun experience. There's just a lot you can do. It's not all about there's nothing happening on the field. And now I've actually found over the years, I actually know quite a bit about baseball. I can sit with my kids and I can explain to you what is going on, and my boys appreciate that because they actually like baseball. They've caught on to John's love for sports, and they'll sit through baseball games, they'll sit through football games, they'll sit through basketball games. They love sports. It's a good thing I know sports. I might be a sports mom. So anyway, that's just one example. And I remember that, gosh, it must have been maybe when we were early on in our marriage, and my dad was like, how do you like going to baseball games? I can't believe you're doing this. And I said, well, Dad, I'm doing it because John really likes it. And it's important to him, and I feel like it should be important to me, too. And he went, point taken. That's really good. I'm proud of you for doing that. I'm like, well, you know, I kind of got it from you and Mom. It is important to, you know, do things for a spouse. Right. So that is one that was big for us, is sports. Okay, another one for us. I forgot to list it. I have several listed here. Sports, movies, books, hobbies, food. You know, figure out where your husband is on those. What is he like? How can you join him there? How can you enjoy it with him? Okay, so even if it is Sunday football all day long, sit with him on that couch with a basket of laundry if you have to. Sit next to him. Fold your clothes while you're watching. Ask him some questions. Okay, so can you explain to me what just happened here? Show him that you care about what's going on, you know? The Super Bowl is coming up. Can you sit through the game? I'm going to try, but there's just, you know, it gets a little bit harder now because if it's not an afternoon game when kids are all napping, I kind of have, like, people need stuff, so I can't really just sit down and watch the game. Plus, we're hosting a Super Bowl party, so I'm going to be distracted. Which is actually really a bummer because I love the Broncos, and I'm cheering for the Broncos, and I'm going to probably miss half the game. Anyway, another story. Okay, another thing that was big for me, I forgot to list it here, but camping, okay? Camping. My husband is a big outdoors guy. He loves the outdoors. He loves camping. It's just something he grew up doing, and he just really, really enjoys it. He'll go camping by himself. He went camping by himself when we were dating, and he forgot his tent, so he slept out in a sleeping bag under the stars, had a fire going, picked up salmon at the store, grilled salmon over an open fire for himself. Like, he just loves the outdoors. We did not grow up camping, okay? I think we tried it a couple times. It rained every time, and Dad said, done. Done. No more camping for the darlings. They set up our tent in the backyard and said, you guys can just play in the tent whenever you want, but we are not going camping ever again. We had a patch of dead grass for years from where that tent stayed because we did play out in the tent. We actually slept outside the tent sometimes, but never camping. So, I was like, okay, this is a little out of my comfort zone, but if he really likes camping, I'll give this a go. I think we registered for a bunch of camping stuff, too, for our wedding, and we got it all. It's like, okay, I think I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to like camping. Do you know what? I love it now. I love it. I really, really, genuinely love it. I love being outside. I like camping. We now have graduated from the tent to the pop-up, which is better on my back. I could do it if I'm not sleeping on the hard ground. It's just not fun. So I took an interest in that, and over time, God, again, blessed the fact that I took an interest in it. I wanted to enjoy what he was enjoying, and now in turn, God's given me an enjoyment for the same thing. And we passed that on to our kids. They love to camp. They think it's awesome. That's just great. Now it's become a family thing. And I think the point that I'm trying to make here is that when we make ourselves available or willing to want to enjoy what our husbands enjoy, do things that they like, over time, some of that rubs off on you and you actually start to realize, hey, this isn't so bad. You know, and maybe if it's still even not the most fun, you can go, I'm enjoying time with my husband. And later, if you're bringing your kids into it too, you can go, oh, now we're enjoying time as a family, and it's special, and it means something to your husband, so keep that in mind, okay? Last thing on the interests, I forgot to list this too, but for me was pets, okay? Pets. I have a husband who grew up on a farm. He loves pets. He had a pet lamb, for crying out loud. He put him on a leash, and he would walk the lamb through the streets of downtown Waseca, a little black lamb he called Blackie. He loves animals, and that's great. I don't dislike animals, but I didn't grow up with real fondness for them. We had a couple pets, hamster, ran away, a rabbit. I did not like that rabbit. It chewed through cords and pooped all over the house. You should not let rabbits in your house. If you do, they're not to be out of their cage. Okay? Word of advice. My mom had a cat, a sweet cat, that she brought up from Ames when we moved here. She was, I think, the only one who liked it. And then it died a tragic death. My dad ran over it with the car while we were in it. It was bad memory. Bad. It twitched until it died. It was awful. It was pretty dramatic, I think. Yeah, that's what happened. If a cat could be a Christian, baby was a Christian, okay? Her name was Baby. Thank you, Mom, for naming her Baby. So, anyway, I did not grow up with real fondness for animals, okay? I just didn't. It's just the way it was. So, I had a choice to make, you know? Like, either I need to figure out a way to like pets, or my poor husband is never going to have a dog, you know? So, within a year of our marriage, we had rescued 2 dogs from the animal shelter. My dad thought I had gone insane. He was like, "What happened to you? You don't like animals." Well, I kind of think I do now. Whatever, Celeste. It was kind of a joke for a while, but they were great. I learned to enjoy them. Cats, I thought I didn't like. By the time we'd been married for 5 years, we had 2 dogs and 3 cats. It's crazy, right? Found out I'm allergic to dogs and cats. Pretty bad, actually. But I put up with it. Anyway, we moved to our new house, and the dogs couldn't come with us because we had low fences. Our dogs jumped. We had neighbors that had cats that ran outdoors. Our dogs killed things. So we ended up having to get rid of both the dogs. Somebody took one, and we had to get the other way. And then the cats started having issues when we had babies, and one by one, they all were like peeing in random spots in our house, peed in the baby's crib, and then we said, cats were all gone. But at this point, we actually did have another dog because we finally, after several years, said, okay, we're done rescuing pets. We're going to get a puppy and start from scratch and train it. My husband likes to train animals too, so he trained our dog, and that was really sweet. We got the dog after a really difficult time. We'd had 2 miscarriages, and we just felt like we need something. So we got this puppy. And doing it that way, too, I'll tell you, he's like part of our family now. You know, Linus and I have a love-hate relationship sometimes. He gets in my way. He licks off my plates as I'm trying to put him in the dishwasher. And, you know, he kind of gets in my way sometimes. But my kids love him. They do. They love him. And, you know, if he's been gone, or, you know, friends have taken him during different periods when I've had babies, and it's just easier not to have the dog around for a while. He comes back, and the kids for days, "Linus, Linus, he's back. Yes, he's back." You know, so God, again, developed that. You know, again, I'm not this huge pet person still. Like, I may be not even a fan of everybody else's pet, but I'll let Linus sit on my lap. You know, if your dog comes over and tries to sit on my lap, or cat, I'm going to be shooing them away. But my dog, I'll let him sit on my lap. So God's grown me in that, but it's been a blessing because those are things that my husband has appreciated, I've tried to take an interest in, and God has blessed that, and I'm so glad I learned that. So be thinking, what is my husband interested in, and have I lately been showing an interest in those things? Is there anything that I can do to change that? Anything that I can do to grow in, whether that be sports, movies, books, hobbies, food. Maybe he really loves different kinds of food. Maybe he loves to cook. Maybe, I don't know. Have you been cooking things lately that he really likes? Ask yourself that question. I have to ask myself that too, you know. Like, it's easy to start after a while going, okay, well, these are things that the kids really like, so I'll just make that. And he's eating it without complaint, but maybe it's not his favorite thing. Have you tried, you know, putting food regularly in your meal rotations that you know bless him and that he loves? Just something to think about. I have to think about that too. My husband thankfully gives a few signs. Like if I make something new or something we haven't had for a while, I'll say, "Well, how did you like it?" He'll go, "It wasn't bad." So that's always my little, "Didn't like it. I won't make that again," or "I'll make it when it's just the kids and I," or, you know, something. So I'm glad he has a couple of telltale signs for me so I can get a read on what he doesn't like. Okay, so number 3, find ways to serve that are important to him, okay, that are important to him. I think, you know, we want to serve our husbands, and it can be easy to pick what we think would be good things, but maybe they're not always the things that are really important to him, and they can be big or small. So I have a couple things that I listed here that I do that have seemed to be a real blessing to my husband. Again, these may not apply to you, so you need to think, what is it for my husband that would mean a lot to him? For my husband, packing his lunch every day is a huge blessing. It's something that I've done since we've been married. It's something I typically do the night before, and then in the morning, he just grabs it, and he can leave. He doesn't have to think about it. It's taken care of. it's been a real blessing for him. And there's been times when that's been really challenging. Times when I've had a newborn and I'm like, I don't want to do this. I do not want to pack your lunch right now. I'm not even thinking about food. And there's been a couple times where I've gone upstairs, gotten all ready for bed, laid in bed, and went, I didn't pack your lunch. And I've actually gotten out of bed, even if he has said, oh, I'll figure something out. It's okay. I said, no, I'll do it. And I'll go then and do it, make myself. Sometimes you do. You just have to force yourself to do it. Even if it's not what you want to do at the moment, go, I know this is going to bless him, and I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to grit my teeth, and I'm going to do it. Again, it's not always that hard, but there has been periods of life where doing little things, acts of service for him, have been challenging. And I've put myself in a position to just, I want to do it, I want to do it, I want to do it. Another thing, folding his laundry the way he likes. It sounds silly. It's easy to go, listen, if I'm the one folding it, just let me fold the laundry and be thankful that it's folded and in your drawer, right? But it became very apparent to me early on in marriage when we were doing laundry together or folding clothes. We folded clothes totally differently. Like, you know, we fold socks growing up in our house. You put them together on top and we would roll down from the bottom and leave like that much still and throw it in the drawer. He folds them together, folds it in half, then folds it up. I should have brought it. And I'm like, well, that's a very different way of folding socks. And he told me once, I don't really like the way that you're folding socks. It's like, okay, well, I have a choice here. What's that going to be? I can either say, well, who cares? It's folded socks and they're in your drawer. I could have had that attitude, and I think sometimes it's easy just to say, just deal with it. I said, nope, I think God really wants me to fold the socks the way he wanted. So I have folded socks the way that he likes, I think for 10 years. And now I don't think about it. It took me a while to develop my habit. Okay, socks is just one. Shirts are another. I fold them in fourths. You know, you fold it up, fold it in half again. He folds his in thirds. Okay? Thirds. Who folds shirts in thirds? Yours? Hey. Somebody else? Okay, thirds. Well, I didn't grow up with that. I grew up with fourths. So then he's folding it in thirds. And I'm like, what is the thirds, you know? So again, another opportunity for me to just change. He does the same things with jeans. I fold them in fourths. He folds them in thirds because they fit the length of his drawer that way. He just likes it that way. I said, okay, I can fold your pants in thirds. I can do this. It's not a big deal, you know. It's just everything in thirds. I don't know. It's not how my brain works. So I had to retrain my brain, really. For years, folding clothes was one of my jobs growing up at home, you know. And we folded clothes, even towels. Like, he fold the towels in thirds. So I got to fold the towels in thirds. And I didn't fold towels in thirds, you know. It sounds silly, but I realized this could really be bothersome to him. If this is what he really prefers, and I am the one that's probably doing most of the laundry, either he's always going to go, oh, it's folded in fourths, or he's going to go, oh, she folded it in thirds. You know, I'd rather have that reaction than, I still would like him to just be grateful, you know, right? Just be grateful. But again, I'm making a joke. But again, it's about my heart. Where is my heart? Is my heart saying, I love you, so I'm going to choose to fold the clothes the way that you like, whether or not I can do that, whether or not, you know, it's an extra, okay, I got to tell myself how to fold these clothes every time, or I can just do it because I love you. I can do it because I want to bless you. So God's really challenged me in that. Okay, another way of serving, something that's been really important to me, following through with his requests and writing them down so you don't forget. In my case, it might be, hey, sweetie, I really need you to put that bill in the mail today. Can you do that for me? Sure, I can do it for you. And the day he comes home, it's still on the counter. What does that communicate? I'm sorry. There were so many things going on today, I just totally forgot. Well, being forgetful for certain things like that, especially if it's a bill that maybe really needed to go in the mail, like, got to get your bills paid. Most of our stuff is online, so that doesn't happen very often where it's something that needs to physically go in the mail. But the point is, that communicates it just wasn't important. I forgot. So for me, if I want to show him your request is important to me, I have to make some kind of a note that I don't forget. I have a pretty good memory, but when I've got little people coming up to me all day long and I'm going from this distraction to this thing that needs to be dealt with, it's easy for me just to go, I really did. I totally spaced it off. But I want him to go, she thinks that this is important. She followed through with it. Whether that be, I need you to send an email. Could you email this to me at home today? Oh, could you make a phone call for me? John is a wonderful, gracious husband, and he tries not to give me too many to-do lists because he understands that my days are full and I've got a lot going on. But there are times that he does need my help or need me to do something. And I've come to understand it communicates a lot to him if I don't follow through with something he's asked me to do. So that's become a real important thing for me in serving him, is that I write it down, whether it's on a sticky note, my daily to-do list, something, so I don't forget, and then I get it done. So when he comes home at the end of the day, I can say, hey, I did what you asked, or I did this for you, and he just really appreciates that. It just communicates a lot to my husband. Number 4, be your husband's cheerleader. Be your husband's cheerleader. Do you speak well of him in front of others? This is something I have been very convicted on for a long time. A challenge that I set for myself is that when I'm in front, this was really important to me when I was still in the workforce, okay? So when I was still working before I was home with kids, that when all of the other wives that I worked with were sitting around complaining about their husbands, that I did not take part in it. I had made a personal commitment. I will not participate with these women when they are talking bad things about their husband. I won't do it. I will, if I offer anything about my husband, any information at all, it's only going to be good, positive, encouraging, loving things about my husband. And that I made that commitment and I stuck to it. And I can't tell you how many times they would look at me offhandedly like, you're saying nice things about your husband. Well, yeah, I am saying nice things about my husband. I love my husband. I really don't have anything to complain about. And that made a statement. Now I find myself that my captive audience is my kids. So what am I communicating to my kids about their dad? Is it positive and loving things? Or do they hear me complaining? Like, oh, Papa forgot to do this today. And even if it's just to myself, they hear, they understand. I have kids that are old enough now to understand everything that's going on. And what am I communicating to them about how I feel about John or what my thoughts are? So that's my new challenge for myself, is being careful to watch what I say about him. And even now, I try to take opportunities. Like if John paints during the summer, that's his summer job when he's not teaching. And some of those painting days can be really long. It's hard to judge how long a specific job can take. He's a pretty good estimate at it. And sometimes during the summer, they just say, we're done at 5:30 and we're done, if they know they have several days to complete it. But there's some times that he has not gotten home until 10 o'clock at night from a painting job that had to be done that day. And there was maybe issues that came up. It didn't dry as fast as they thought it would. I mean, painting is, it's pretty specific and you can't rush it. And when it is your job and it's your company and you're a professional, you are a professional. So I try to, take the times if I'm feeling discouraged, like, oh, it's going to be another 10 o'clock day and I'll be here with the kids all day. And I can either choose to say, you guys, we're so blessed that Papa works so hard for us and that he is putting time in today and he just works so hard, and aren't we so blessed that he takes such good care of us? I can talk like that to my kids about him, or I could be grumbling and complaining, saying, oh, he's going to be gone until 10 o'clock, and well, that just really sucks, and I could have a terrible attitude about it. And granted, there has been times when I have. I've tried to not have that attitude with my kids, but I've definitely had it on the phone with him, and that is also something that I've really challenged myself in, especially this last year, that I need to be careful even when I'm on the phone with him. Like this next one is, what do you communicate to him when he walks in the door at the end of the day? Or it could be, what do you communicate when you're on the phone with him during the day? If he calls to say, hey, something happened at work, I'm not going to be home in time for dinner, you guys just need to eat without me, I just have to deal with this. Are you saying, that's fine, honey, I'll pray for you and we'll be fine? Or are you saying, what? Are you kidding me? Come on. Is there any way that you can get around it? I just need you to come home. It's been a terrible day, really stressful, and I just really need you here. What are you communicating? I've had both days. I've had days where I have gotten really upset, like on a long painting day, or, you know, John is a track coach and a cross-country coach, and there's lots of meets, and sometimes track meets in particular last a really long time, and there's been bus delays, and you name it, you know, just anything can happen. You just don't know. And I should know going into that as the wife of a coach that just stuff happens and meets are long and I know what I got in for. But that still doesn't mean there hasn't been times when I've had a terrible attitude about it. And that's really just taking the wind right out of his sails, you know, like I don't even want to come home because she is so mad. Like really, that's what I communicated. I am so mad at you, you shouldn't even come home tonight. You know, like that is not how I want my husband's response to be towards my response. You know, I think it's okay at times if I need to show like, well, yeah, this is frustrating and it might be challenging, but I understand. I know it's not your fault. I know you can't control the circumstance of what's going on. I'll pray for you and we'll make it. You know, I just guarding how I am communicating to him. Then lastly, do you seek to encourage him on a regular basis? Okay, so maybe your husband is not a words of affirmation kind of guy, like mine. Maybe he doesn't, you know, get his love tank filled off of that. But I still think on a regular basis, we do need to seek to find ways to encourage our husband, whether that is just throwing a little note in his lunchbox, sending him a little email while he's at work, or a text message, or maybe he has a few minutes that he gives you a phone call every day and you find a way to say, hey, how's your day going? The kids and I prayed for you, which the kids and I do pray for John every day, and I'll tell him that we prayed for you this morning, and he really appreciates that. You know, our phone conversations when he's at school are like 3 minutes long, because I look when I get off the phone. Well, that was like 3 minutes long, because he doesn't have a lot of time to chit-chat, but I appreciate that he calls me, so in turn, I want to be encouraging to him by asking him a question or telling him something that would bless his day while he's there. And so are you seeking to encourage him on a regular basis? What is that going to look like for you? What is that going to look like for you? All right. So this last one is a biggie. You probably knew I was going to have to go here. You should all be prepared from the last 4 weeks of messages on Friday night. Number 5. Make sex a priority. Yes, I went there. There's some good stuff, and I want to talk about it, and I have a lot to say. So I'm going to trust the Lord will speak to you in the way that you need to be spoken to about this, because I understand that there's lots of different circumstances that affect each of us in this area, but I think a lot of it still comes back to, where's our heart at? Where's our heart at? So I want to read this verse from 1 Corinthians. Gosh, I'm sweating now. Okay. I'm going to get to the good stuff. 1 Corinthians 7, 3-5. This is from the Message. This is going to smack you in the face. It's good for a man to have a wife and for a woman to have a husband. Sexual drives are strong, but marriage is strong enough to contain them and provide for a balanced and fulfilling sexual life in a world of sexual disorder. The marriage bed must be a place of mutuality, the husband seeking to satisfy his wife, the wife seeking to satisfy her husband. Marriage is not a place to stand up for your rights. Marriage is a decision to serve the other, whether in bed or out. Abstaining from sex is permissible for a period of time if you both agree to it, and it's for the purposes of prayer and fasting, but only for such times. I find that interesting. I think there's a lot of things that we could bring up that's for certain periods of time that we could quantify for abstaining. There might be illnesses right after we've had a baby. There's a few other things I might add to that list. But it's interesting that Paul only wrote for the purposes of prayer and fasting, but only for such times. Then come back together again Satan has an ingenious way of tempting us when we least expect it. Tempting us when we least expect it. And he's implying that into the area of sexual intimacy. So if that doesn't smack you in your face, I like that the message does that, the message version. So that's our verse. That's what I want you to think about right here. First thing I want to talk about is hang-ups. I think we all have them. I think this area is difficult and it's challenging because if you've had any kind of past with sexual immorality before you got married, I think a lot of times that baggage gets brought in to marriage. And even though you're coming into marriage with a clean slate, you know God's forgiven you for those things, you're married now and you want to build this life with your husband, past can still creep up. Past things can still come in. We have to find a way to combat that. I'm going to get to that here in a little while. But I just want you to be thinking right now, am I having any hang-ups right now that are keeping me from making this a priority with my husband, okay? Hang-ups for some of us that have a lot of kids could be just that, kids. You know, I have a baby that's not sleeping through the night, or there's just some kids get out of bed, or there's no privacy, or just getting interrupted. That's why you invest in a lock on the door, okay? Starting point number one, do you have a lock on your bedroom door? That's important. We do. Don't always use it, but there's a lock there. So that could be one, okay? Hang-ups. And this, I think hang-ups and excuses can kind of go hand in hand, because I think if we have a hang-up, something from our past, that can just become our excuse then. Well, I'm still working on this. I'm still dealing with this issue. That becomes then our excuse, okay? So I think these two kind of go hand in hand. Are you tired? Are you just not feeling well at the end of the day? Are you just wiped out and go, it's just not worth it because I'm not even going to be into it, so why should I even make myself available? Again, the excuses roll in. We're too busy. We have too much going on. Again, then it just doesn't become a priority, okay? It keeps falling off the list. There's just a lot that can keep getting added on the list to keep kicking it off the list, all right? And I really believe that God does not want that to happen. He's made it very clear that this is to be a priority in our marriage, that it's not to be a place to stand up for my rights and say, you don't understand, I'm so tired. You don't understand, it's been such a hard day. Again, for each of our marriages, this is going to look different. I can't say that enough. Each of our husbands have different levels of a sexual drive, okay? We know that. We should know that. We've been married to them. We know what satisfies them or what doesn't, okay? I think if you've had your eyes open in your marriage long enough, you should be able to know that about your husband, okay? So I want to ask you this morning, are you meeting him where he needs it? Are you doing your part to make yourself available when he needs it? Are you doing it? Or are you pulling up excuses? Or are you still wrestling with your own hang-ups? Okay, if you have hang-ups, figure out a way to deal with it, whether that's combating them with God's truth, talking to somebody about it, if you're still having some issues from your past, or even maybe current issues, maybe early on in your marriage, maybe if you both weren't following the Lord right away, or you just, who knows what struggles maybe you had early on in your marriage. Maybe those are still affecting you and they've affected you this whole time. And you need help. That's what our pastors are here for. Ask for help. Because ladies, I can't emphasize enough that if you take this area out of your marriage, it affects everything else. Okay? It's not the main thing by any means, but it will work its way into affecting other areas of your marriage if you are not faithfully making yourself available to your husband and making this a priority with him. I'm telling you, because I've experienced it. There's just been seasons where due to, you know, babies are needing to take time off, even for us last summer after Caroline was born. And then I was back in the hospital again. My body needed several months to completely heal. Okay, my husband was completely understanding. I'm not saying he wasn't. We knew that this is just, we have no options here. My body has to completely heal. It just was torn apart here, right? But when I was my body was healed enough, it took time. Like, okay, like, I need to mentally get back into the game. We need to figure out how to communicate about this again, because we've taken like several months from not even thinking about this. And it does. It made a difference. It made a difference in our communication. Having months of not having intimacy like that, it affected our communication. It affected even just my general attitude. Because even though I think a lot of women might say, like, well, that's, I don't really feel close to my husband like he feels close to me when we're having sex. Like, I can feel close to him when we have good conversation. Or, you know, that's good. That's good for me. I'm kind of on the opposite scale, where I actually really feel connected to my husband when we're having intimacy on a regular basis. Like, I just really feel connected to him that way. So even for me, there was this huge lapse of, we're just not connected at all. Well, no kidding. I mean, it was like 3 or 4 months of not having sex. And for us, that was a really long time. It made a big dent. It made a difference. So we had to really work to pull that back together. And I'm so glad we did. And I'm so glad that we put the work in to go, okay, now we got to get going on this again. Because within a very short amount of time, I felt a dramatic difference for both of us. For both of us. So you take this area out and it affects your marriage. Okay? It really affects you. I want to talk a little bit about this. I want to talk a little bit about body image, because I think for a lot of us, myself included, that can be a hang up, okay? Especially for those of us in here who've had even just one baby, you know, your body changes, okay? For some of us, it just doesn't go back the same way. Proportions are different. It just changes. And it's really easy to go, I don't like how I look naked. I don't, you know? You just start to feel a little bit self-conscious. We need to get over that. We need to get over it. Because I can guarantee you, your husband has. Like, for him, it's connection. It's how he feels love. He needs that. And I can most guarantee you, for most husbands in this room, that's just not an issue for him. He just wants to be with you. Okay? So we got to figure out a way to get past our body image issues. If weight is your issue, if you are struggling with your weight, do something about it. Give yourself some motivation. If this is going to help you to love your husband, and weight is your problem, and you go, I feel better about myself if I lost a few pounds, do something about it. Really, honestly, do something about it. If exercising helps, if that helps you feel energized, if for you exercise takes off the weight, figure out a way to get in an exercise routine. If eating is the issue, you need to change up some things that you're eating or not eating or doing in that for yourself, for your marriage, do it. It's worth the effort. It's worth the cost. I can tell you it is. Find somebody who can encourage you. Find somebody who has some kind of a diet going that's really working for them, or they're doing something with food that's really helping them. Say, could you help me? I really want to make this happen, because I need to get through this mentally. I need to get this out of my head. Do it. It'll be worth it. God's going to bless your efforts, because you're doing it not just for yourself, but going, I want to make this area of my marriage better. And if changing myself, doing something for my body image is going to help me, do it. Just do it. Just do it. And ask for help. I've got ideas. There's several women in here who do. I'd love to talk to you about it. If that's your issue, talk to me. I can direct you. I can give you some ideas. Some things even that I'm doing that have just helped me, because I had to kind of get through that block, you know? Like, we're done having kids now. So now I'm kind of, okay, my body now is the way that it's going to be. It's not going to change from another pregnancy. It is what it is. So I need to get it to where I want it to be and maintain that. And maintain it so that I can feel good about myself, so that I can feel energized to take care of the kids that I have, to run and manage my home. So I'm going to do the work that takes. And I'm glad that I am, because it's making me feel good and energized and ready to meet my husband's needs. It's really helping me. So think about that. Think about your hang-ups. Think about your excuses. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask for help from somebody else if that's what you need. Ask for help. Ask for help. I really like this verse in Galatians. You can turn the page. Galatians 6:7 from the Message. Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. All who he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. That is so good. I don't want weeds in my life. I don't want to be selfish, ignoring the needs of my husband, because in doing that, I'm ignoring God. It says it right here. Ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God. Okay, we don't want to be ignoring God's voice in this area with our husbands. There are 5 points that I want to just share with you from this book again. She has a lot of great stuff on here, on intimacy, on being a creative lover, on loving our husbands in the way that they need to be loved. It's just really wonderful. But she has 5 things here, and the first one is to renew your mind. If you're having hang-ups, even if you're not, we need to renew our mind with the truth, with what God's Word says. Renew your mind. I like Philippians 4:8 from the Voice. It's one of my life verses, but I like it from the Voice. Fill your minds with beauty and truth. Meditate on whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, whatever is virtuous and praiseworthy. Think about these things. Think about these things. There's been times when maybe I've had a week of just wrestling with some frustrations with John or something that we're working through. And there's been times that I just had to renew my mind with truth, with this truth. Celeste, fill your mind with thoughts about your husband that are beauty and truth. Meditate about things about him that are honorable, whatever is right about John, whatever is pure about John, whatever is lovely about John, whatever is good about John, whatever is virtuous and praiseworthy about John. Think about those things. Think about those things. And I tell you, doing that has changed my thought pattern, my thought process about my husband, because I'm renewing my mind with the truth and thinking about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Number 2, memorize and meditate on God's viewpoint. We know God's Word has a lot to say about sex. There's an entire book written about it, Song of Songs. Memorize and meditate on God's viewpoint. He meant it to be a beautiful act for a husband and a wife to show love, to be love to each other. Meditate on it. Memorize it. It will transform your mind. It will renew your mind. Number 3, decide with your will to be God's version of a creative lover. Again, that's going to look different for each of you in here that are married. Each of your marriages, that's going to be different. But what does that mean for you to be a creative lover? How would that look like in your marriage? What does that mean for you? Ask God and decide with all of your will that whatever, God, you want it to look like for me, show me and I will do it. Show me and I will do it. Number 4, do your part. You're 100%. Doing your part means making yourself available. Whether your husband chooses to respond or not, that's him. That's on him. Are you doing your part, your 100%, to be available to your husband? To be available. Number 5, give God time to work, okay? Sometimes if we're dealing with hang-ups, we're dealing with excuses, we're working in our mind, and we just want God to change us right away. Well, just change me right now. Just change it. Take it away. Tell yourself, it does take time for him to work. It's not always an overnight change of heart. But if we're putting forth the effort, God will change you. He will change you. He will help you. He will help you to grow. But give him time to work. Give him time to work. I have made a personal commitment to myself. I actually haven't even verbally told it to John, though, so if he ever listens to this now, he'll know. But I have made a commitment to myself, as long as I'm physically able to do it, that I will make myself available to have sex with my husband at least twice a week. If not more, should he so choose. But I've made it in my mind that I will, that is my commitment. And in order to make that happen, a lot of times it just has to be sort of scheduled on the calendar. Because for us with kids, it just, you just kind of lose the spontaneity of it. That just can't always happen, okay? There's little people that need things and interrupt things, and it just doesn't happen. But I tell you, it will happen if you put it on your calendar. Not unlike, you know, your calendar in the kitchen, you have people over. You don't want to do that. Maybe you just put a little asterisk, and you know what that means, okay? Figure out a way, whether it's your personal calendar, you know, you have a little alarm goes off on your phone. Hey, blink, blink, today should be the day, right? Because if you need that time to prepare, it's going to give you that time. Go, okay, on my calendar, these 2 days this week, I'm going to make myself available to my husband, okay? It's been a huge blessing for me. It's been a blessing for my husband. And it makes a world of a difference because it shows him this is a priority to me. And I'll even like, okay, so that's the day we're going to try to have sex. I'm going to have my legs shaved. I'm going to make it important because seriously, ladies, if we're going in for our annual physical, don't we do that? Like, I'm going to shave my legs. I'm going to get all nice and clean because I am going to the gynecologist. And we all know that's real fun. But seriously, though, do we put that same effort into getting ourselves ready for our husband? You know? Who says, does he like scratchy legs? I don't know. I don't think my husband does. I'm being serious, though. You know, we'll put that effort into our annual physical, but we won't put the same effort into when we're going to have sex with our husband. It's just kind of, well, it's just what we do, and, well, you know, it's not that big of a deal. It is. It's a big deal. Show him it's a big deal. Show him it's a big deal. Make some effort. Make some changes. Whatever you need to do. I'm not the kind of gal who redid the whole bedroom and has candles in there. That's just not really our thing. If that's your thing, if you know this is going to blow my husband away, transform your room. Make it your special place and say, kids, keep out. I know people who do that, couples who do that. Our room is our sanctuary. It's our special place. We don't allow kids into our bed because it's our space, and you can do that. And in some cases, you should. If this is something that you need to transform, do whatever it takes. Seriously, do whatever it takes. If it means buying new decorations for your room, ask your husband if there's room in the budget because you can tell him what it's for. He'll probably give you the money. He just might. You never know. So that's a personal commitment that I've made. I just really felt before the Lord that was going to be the best for my marriage, the most blessing to my husband. You may feel differently about that. But be open to the idea of making that kind of a personal commitment. What is going to bless my husband based on our situation, based on our circumstances, based on what I know is going to bless him. All right, I just want you to think about that. I'd like to challenge you with this thought here from this morning. I know this could be all overwhelming. There's a lot of things. At this point, you could be going, oh my gosh, I really need to grow in like all five of these areas. But to help you not feel overwhelmed, I'd really just like for you to focus on one thing to start. Just one thing. Maybe it's the one that really stood out to you the most. And say, how can I start applying this to my marriage right now? What changes can I make to make this better or to grow in this? What would God have me do? What is that going to look like? Just pick one thing. And maybe you're here this morning and you really do have a good handle on these and you really feel like, you know, I feel like for the most part, I am doing a really good job in these things. Great. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep being faithful because it only gets more challenging. It really does. It really does. I'm speaking from the experience of if it's in your plan to keep having kids or to start having children, it gets more challenging. It really, really does. So keep it up and find ways to stay faithful at it. Find ways to stay faithful at it. And if you are here and struggling with some of these things, put the effort in. Start putting the effort in. God is going to bless it. I asked John this the other day. I said, honey, I said, can I ask you if this is a true statement? Do you feel like it means more to you now when I'm doing a lot of these things? Because I want you to know I did double check pretty much my entire message with him. I'm not sharing things that he doesn't know anything about, except for my personal commitment. He doesn't know that. Because I didn't want to speak out of turn. I didn't want to say this really blesses him if it didn't, you know. I think I know my husband, but I didn't want to speak out of turn, you know. So I shared a lot of this stuff with him. But I said, do you think it means more to you now when I'm continuing to, you know, pack your lunch every night, fold your clothes the way you like it, share interest in your hobbies when I sit and watch a football game? Does it mean more now than it did when we first got married because you know what my life looks like now? And he said, yeah. He said, yeah, it means more now because I know it takes more effort and I know it takes more work for you now and it takes more time for you to go, okay, I'm going to juggle these things so that we get time together. I'm going to try to accomplish these things before the kids go to bed tonight so that when they go to bed, I can focus on just watching a show with John from 8 to 10:30 or whenever we need to go to bed, so that when our kids are in bed, I'm not like, okay, I have all of this stuff to do, see you later. Certainly there's nights when that does need to happen, but not every night. We try to have a couple nights of the week where when the kids go to bed, we're just with each other. We have a couple shows that we like to watch that are on after the kids go to bed. We'll watch that together. We'll chat. We'll talk about stuff, have sex if that's our night to have sex, or even if it's not. You know, it's just making myself willingly available and making time for him. So I appreciated that he said it meant more to him and that he notices my efforts. And you know, and God surprises me. And when John notices things, and he'll surprise me with something I wasn't expecting. Like at Christmas, our gift this year for each other was new pots and pans. Okay. We're kind of practical when it comes to Christmas gifts. It's like, what do we need? New pans. We've had these for 10 plus years and they're Teflon and the Teflon is scratching off into your food. Bad news. He said, we need stainless steel. Okay, we need something else. So that was our, you know, our big gift, right? But he surprised me with something else. He knew I'd been working hard on what I'd been eating and the food that I'd been, he knew I had lost some weight or had been trying and working on some health things. And he surprised me and bought me this Ninja blender that I really had wanted. And I had mentioned a couple months ago, hey, at some point I'd really like to get that blender. He knew that I used our blender on a like daily basis and a cheap blender. And so I came home. I was gone one night, and he and the kids really creatively, to throw me off, wrapped some awkward box and put it under the Christmas tree. And I walked in and was like, what is that? And the kids are all sitting there. He's like, oh, well, we just wrapped you. It's a present for you. And I was like, what do you mean a present for me? We already got the pots and pans. Oh, you'll just have a seat. I was like, okay. And the kids are and he's like, remember, kids, you're not supposed to tell Mom. And this is a couple weeks before Christmas. They did not tell me. Even down to Natty, four-year-old, not a word. And at one point, I even caught one of them, like, wanting to get excited and tell me. And I stopped them because I like surprises. And I said, don't say a word. I want to be surprised. I was like, oh, right. And it was a huge blessing to me. I thought, he sees the effort that I'm putting into this, and he totally just blew me away. When I opened that on Christmas Day, tears. I need your blender! Thank you so much! It has a food processor attachment. I, like, threw my food processor away. This thing is great! It does everything so much better. You know, it's not a Vitamix, but I was so thankful. It just blew me away, and it made me realize. Because he said, well, sweetie, I know you'll get use out of this, but in turn, when you use it, it blesses the rest of us. So really, it's kind of a gift for everybody. Okay. I see what you mean, so I'm supposed to start making new stuff with it, right? No, it just was wonderful, and it blew me away, and it just confirmed in my heart that my husband sees what I'm doing. He takes notices of that, and he just did it to bless me, and it really did. It really, really did. And I'm just convinced that as the years go by, that it only becomes more and more important for me to keep doing these little things, to keep serving, to keep showing love, to keep folding his laundry the way that he likes, to keep packing that lunch every night, to keep sharing those interests, to keep sitting down and watching a football game with him and sharing enjoyment over it. You know, I can cheer along with the best of them, and we can high-five and get excited over good plays because I know what a good play is. And he appreciates that, you know? So think about those things when you're thinking about your husband. What is important to him, and how can I meet him there? How can I show him that? All right? I hope that God encouraged you this morning, challenged you. Remember, what voice were you listening to today? If you're feeling discouraged, disheartened, kick the devil out. Say, I'm not going to listen to that. I want to listen to the Lord. What can I grow in? What can I grow in? Okay? You're not a horrible wife. You're not terrible. We all just need to grow. Always. We're always in a state of needing to grow, whether it be growing as a Christian, growing as a wife, growing as a mom, growing as a friend. I think if we're not at a state of growth, we're just at a state of being stagnant. You know, we're getting complacent. We need to be challenged. We need to be challenged. So my prayer here all week has been that you would leave not with your head hung down and your shoulders hunched because you feel bad, but with a renewed sense of purpose, okay? A renewed sense of purpose about what does God want to do in my marriage, and what can I do to change that? What little things can I do better at? What can I grow in? How can God use me? I have a couple of small group questions. I know we're after 10, so you'll have about 20 minutes. Take longer if you need. But can you relate to this topic right now? How? And what is the one thing that God has put in your heart from this morning that you feel that you need to grow in, if you're willing to share that, okay? Encourage each other. I'm going to stay up here this morning. If you want to come up and ask me something, I'll be available. But just in groups of three or four, there's a lot of people here, so, you know, maybe four at the most, and try to have these next 20 minutes to talk with each other, okay?